So I'm not Mexican. I love Mexico. I think it's I've never been there, but I love the culture, and I even had this thing that I did when I was in elementary school, because we have kind of like a question mark family tree, and I found out I was born with a Mongolian spot, and that I read a book somewhere that if you were born with a Mongolian spot, then you were somehow descendant from the Maya. And so I created this whole like myth around being a Mayan queen. But that's another story. And I actually grew up in Hialeah, Florida, which is it's a northwestern city, a part of Miami-Dade County, and it is about like 96%, 98% Cuban. And so the primary language where in the city that I grew up was Spanish or Spanglish or some combination of the two. And so I really loved being able to just like walk into a CVS and pick up a caja china for Nochebuena if I needed to. I really loved being able to order food in Spanish, being able to have as many plátanos as I needed. There was never a shortage of that culture. And even though my family was actually Colombian, I just loved being able to communicate with the people around me and to be able to see people that looked like me everywhere and to hear that language in not only in my house, but in every interaction that I had. So my family, as I mentioned, is Colombian. So my mom was born in Cali, and my dad is from Medellin, and they actually met in Miami. My mom was the hot waitress. I have an older brother and an older sister, but we were always very connected to Colombia. And I loved being Colombian in Miami because at the time, there weren't a lot of Colombians there. And our family was one of two families that I knew that was living in Hialeah at the time. And there's so many things to love about Colombia. I don't know how much you know about it, but it's like one of the most biodiverse countries in the world. It borders the Amazon. The Andes start there. It's on both the Pacific and the Caribbean. It has just like these amazing tropical plants and delicious fruits and juices. Of course, coffee is good too. But it's just this amazing place. And as a kid, I would go back there at least once a year. And the thing that I loved the most about Colombia or going back to Colombia was spending Christmas there. Because Christmas was just this like whole month long event. It actually like bled into January for the most part. And it was just really surreal. I was 6 or 7, and I would have an aunt that or my aunts, they would pull these like yellow underwear over their pants, and they would pick up these suitcases on New Year's, and they would run around the house in yellow underwear because they thought it was good luck and it meant that there was travel coming to them in the new year. It was like a party every single night, lots of singing and dancing, lots of music. I'm a terrible dancer, but I loved to dance, so I never really cared how terrible I was at it. And I just like remember like standing on my dad's feet and like trying to keep up with him. But one of the coolest things that we would do is we would actually, there's this thing called an año viejo. And so basically, the entire block was lined with all of these stuffed dummies, and we would place these little stories inside the dummies. We were asked to, whether they were wishes for the new year, whether they were memories that you wanted to forget, or people that you wanted to commemorate, and you would just slip these little slips into these like straw men that would line the streets, and then you would stuff them with fireworks and blow them up. It was awesome. This was all late 80s, early 90s. So there were darker things happening there, of course. And my family was slowly starting to emigrate back. And I was too young to really understand what was going on, but there were hints of it, right? And I would, it was like trying to go through things I didn't like about going to Colombia was coming through customs. And, I remember being, 6 or 7, and our suitcases, we'd bring pass them through the security at customs, and there was always a man with these like long yellow needles, and they would just start stabbing my suitcase as a little kid. And I was like, what the What the hell are they doing? And I didn't realize, I was too young to understand that they were checking to see if we were trying to smuggle drugs back into the U.S. But, you know, I guess the silver lining to this was that Colombia always came with me. I had my tia Marta. She was the first to come and stay with us and help her immigrate into the U.S. And then it was Maria Elena. And then it was Roque and his three kids, who all lived with us at the same time, outnumbering my family of four that was living at the house. My cousin Juano also came, and he decided he wanted to go to school. So it was kind of like Ellis Island, but with cumbia and empanadas. And I just loved it. I did eventually leave Miami. I got into college. I was the first in my immediate family to go to college. Don't be too proud. I'm a theater major. But whatever. So I ended up moving to Tallahassee, Florida, to attend Florida State University. And I'm not sure how familiar you all are with the armpit of Florida, but that is where the state capital is, and it's about 20 minutes south of the Georgia border. So even though I had grown up in the southernmost point in the continental U.S., this was my first time experiencing the South, where I learned a few things. Confederate flags. Still a thing. Yeah, people fly them a lot lately. And, you know, they run the backs of pickup trucks. They would fly them high during the springtime Tallahassee parade. It was everywhere. I learned new words like y'all and spick. Yeah. These are things that I had never heard before because I grew up in a place where you would get punched if you said something like that. I learned that I was Mexican, even though I wasn't, and that everybody from El Salvador or from Costa Rica or Uruguay or Paraguay or Argentina or anywhere south of the border was all of a sudden Mexican, and that nobody has any idea that Central America and South America have all of these other countries in them and that they all have different languages in them, not just Spanish. Anyway, these are all things that I learned. I learned that I only got into college because I'm Hispanic. You're so lucky. I wouldn't have gotten that. Okay. So I coped with this in the only way that an introverted nerd really could. I made up some imaginary friends. I mean, they weren't like imaginary. They were real people, but they were, okay, let me explain. So the only other Latinas that I knew in Tallahassee were my friend Tati, who was that other Colombian family that I was telling you about. I used to work for her mom at this horse race track in Miami. It was my first job. I would sling baked ziti for cash under the table. So she was in Tallahassee also going to Florida State. There was my friend Denai, whose brother I dated in my last year of high school. Bad idea. And my friend Cello, who I met actually in Tallahassee and who's an amazing, hilarious person. And together we formed Las Chicas Superpoderosas. Yeah.
En un mundo lleno de vicio y crimen, unas nenas super raras se unieron para salvar el mundo.
We didn't save the world. We were up to absolutely no good. And most of our antics were all around trying to terrorize people with names like Meredith and Becky and all those Barbies that I learned were real and 6 feet tall and really freaking mean. Armed with a camera and a blunt, we would go around and videotape Becky while she peed in her shoe in the hallway and put it on MySpace. We didn't actually put it on MySpace. This was all part of the imaginary thing. Anyway, it was kind of mean, but It was the only way that we could keep from hurting people in a real way. Like, we really had to just, like, let this out. It was the first time that we felt like our, we could utilize our language and our own, like, you know, bad habits. Like, there was, like, Tati, she was, like, super atreída, you know? She was the kind of person that you would, like, she would say, hey, Maggie, come pick me up from school and give me a ride home. She lived right across the street from school. I would not get to just take her home. I would have to take her to the grocery store, and then she would realize that she had a doctor's appointment, so I had to take her to the doctor's appointments in the waiting room and wait for that to happen, and then eventually, 3 hours later, I'd finally get to go home. But this skill was also super useful for getting into clubs. Anyway, I know I'm really short on time, so I'm going to abbreviate this story. But what I miss more than anything is being able to have my chicas. I mean, like, I don't have that here in Baltimore. Like, the only, after I moved here, it was just, all of these things became sort of like these fragments of memories and parts of my identity that are just starting to fade. And I don't want to lose that. And I can't lose that. And so I'm really happy to be here. And I want to thank Laura for the opportunity, because this is really important, and I know that we're all super powerful here, and that we should all be banding together to take over this bullshit that's happening.